Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. And yes, we are live. We're live tonight. This is a brand new original broadcast, and I think it's going to be very lively tonight because I have, once again, one of my most lively guests and one of my favorite people to talk to, the grand dame of the sexpert writers, the true original cougar, the woman who wrote the sex Bible for women and probably wrote a lot more than that, too. I mean, go to any Barnes & Noble, go to any Borders bookstores, and you will see the most beautiful books written by Susan Crane Bacos, published by Quiver. They are so fantastically produced, all original photography, and just really great writing as well, with very interesting techniques that are original and that will never be boring for you to try. And always, it's a pleasure to have Susan on, especially, you know, at the last minute when I need someone to be on the show, I can always call upon Susan to be here.
And I will do the interview even from the office of a bar.
That's where you are. That's where you are.
That's where I am right now. Thank you, Maxine.
You were on the sidewalk, though, but that's better than last
time. That's right.
Time.
The last time I was on the sidewalk with Mara Altman talking about her book, and we went outside because it wasn't that cold yet, so we were sitting on the sidewalk. But it's a little cold, so now I've commandeered the office at Maxie's Grill.
That's fantastic. Live from Maxie's.
Live from Maxie's Grill. I think this should be, like, my office now, don't you think,
yes.
Stephen?
I think that would be fantastic. And
it's on 19th between Park and Irving. Anyone coming to New York should come here.
Yes.
A funny thing happened tonight, Stephen. I was sitting here at the bar, and these two guys came in, and they started talking to me, and they asked me what I did, and I said I wrote the sex Bible. And they said, oh, my God, I just when I bought that for my girlfriend last week. How cool is that?
That's pretty damn good.
Well, lots of exciting things are happening, and there's lots of things I want us to talk about.
Yes.
But first of all, in a little while, my partner in a new project, Dave Bergen, is going to join us. We are
doing
a book on sports bars, on what happens in sports bars and how it's kind of a metaphor for life, for your relationships and whatever. And he's got some really interesting insights about how people behave in hookups, whether it works or it doesn't, and there are those signs you can look at and see what's happening. So we're going to talk about that, and I want to call attention to my Playboy radio interview coming up next week.
Yes.
And to the results of the latest survey on the blog, which I think you and I should talk about right now, the Vulva survey.
Well, also, I want to talk about what you wrote on the blog, because we are now, I think we're in the third or fourth week of the Tiger Woods debacle.
I know. It's so pathetic, isn't it?
Yes.
It is really pathetic.
Now, your books, besides your books being so well-written and photographed, your books do very well in Europe, don't they?
Oh, they do. Actually, I do better in Europe. Yeah, definitely.
But don't you think the Europeans are laughing at us again?
Oh, they're always laughing at us. I mean, the sadness of the Tiger Woods story to me is, and as I wrote on the blog, on sexyprime.typepad.com, if he only had access to high-quality call girls, would he have made all these stupid choices? Let's legalize prostitution.
Yeah.
Let's make it better for the girls who work in prostitution. Let's honor the fact that call girls really do a good job, and they're worth the money that they're paid, and let's give them recognition the same way we do other people who provide a stellar service. And if we did that, the whole industry would be safer and saner. There would be requirements for physicals. The women who work in prostitution would not be threatened and beaten up by pimps and whatever. I think that's the answer. And the Tiger Woods story to me really reinforced it. It's like, here we've got this man who is making these incredibly stupid choices. What if there had been a legal alternative for him? What if there had been a better way for him to do this? Would he have taken it, or would he have not taken it? So I think that's the interesting question to ask. But yeah, if you cannot believe
maybe had that
how many angry letters I got over that one.
Yeah.
It's kind of shocking. What is wrong with you people?
I think it's just because, you know, there's also, you know, people just have bought into this myth. And there's a very good article about it that I'm going to be leading off this week with my soul dish. It's called This Is What Tiger's Saga Is Really All About. And, you know, the one of the things that he came up with was, what really was his transgression? Was it the fact that he had sex outside of marriage, or was it the fact that he embarrassed his wife?
That is a really good question, Stephen, because I think the big transgression is he embarrassed his wife.
Yeah.
That was a shaming incident for her. It's a very embarrassing thing. And it might even be something that forces her to make a choice she doesn't want to make. She may decide to leave him because of the embarrassment, because of her pride. And if it had been a private situation where he'd gone to call girls and maybe she found the credit card bills and it was just private between them, she wouldn't have been forced to make that choice. So I think that is a real issue. It's not that he did what he did. It's the fact that he got caught and he made such bad choices and it embarrassed her. Embarrassing her, to me.
I have another great quote for you. I think you're going to like this one. It's from the same article. It says, men who grow up eating at five-star steakhouses often happily learn to love Hamburger Helper five nights a week.
I love that. I wonder if it's true, though. Happily learn to love. I don't know about that. I'm not entirely sure. My voice is croaky, by the way, because I have a cold. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, but I do think that we need to step back and look at this.
Yeah.
When we have these young pro athletes, and I've seen it in other sports, I worked on a writing project with a basketball player, and I have been there when groupies knocked a pregnant wife down trying to get to the player. It's ugly what happens. There are women out there who throw themselves at these guys who are dying for the opportunity to get pregnant by one of them or to sell their story about one of them. And I don't think I don't think Tiger kind of realized that he was just prey. He would not have been catnip to these women if he'd just been an ordinary guy, but he was Tiger Woods. You look at him, he's cute and all that, but he's not that special.
No, he
isn't. So he would not have ever attracted all that if he weren't who he was. So for me, if I were him, I would think, gee, you know, I'm kind of a hooker myself. Don't you think? When you look at it in the reality, I think he's almost a hooker himself.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, I think he made a bad choice, and I was talking not last week, but the week before with Veronica Monet, and you know, he simply should have gone and found a professional. He paid money anyway. He paid more for it. Yeah.
He paid more for it anyway. Yeah.
You know,
and I think those of us who are sexually enlightened and know a little bit about the sex industry, I think we all feel that way. It's like, for God's sake, go buy a quality experience with someone who will be discreet. Because call girls don't talk unless they're arrested and deprived of their livelihood, like Ashley Dupree. Then they come across. I really like her, by the way. Ashley Dupree, the Elliot Spitzer call girl.
Yeah.
I love her. I always like her comments in the New York Post. I just think she's very brave and very dead on in what she has to say. And when she said, okay, these girls were taking money from him and trips and gifts, and they knew he was married, and I'm the hooker.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that one.
Yeah, I'm the hooker? I don't think so. So I'm 100% behind her on that.
I think it's such a funny situation because here you are. Most guys, you know, they're trying to get some, and they struggle for years, and then all of a sudden, boom, they make it. They have money. They have power. They have whatever. And then when it's being offered to you for free, that's when you pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's when you can
afford. You know that old saying: "There's never a free lunch," right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to pay for it one way or another. So I think guys like Tiger, and he seems to be, I think he was probably very isolated in many ways, and raised in a very, you know, specific way, which meant great discipline and not having any kind of normal life. But guys like that are so susceptible; their egos are already overstoked. And they're susceptible to these women.
Yeah.
And they feel like the attention is serious. So I think the fact that he embarrassed his wife and that she bore him two children while he was doing all this.
Yeah.
That is the bigger sin than the fact that he had sex with somebody outside of marriage. Do it reasonably, respectfully, responsibly. Cheat discreetly. Cheat smart. Don't do it this way. Look at what's best for you. And not only that, look at the sexually transmitted infections. The STI rate is much higher among the hookup culture people, and that's who he was playing with, than it is among
all girls. Yeah, supposedly he was going in bareback.
Yeah, he probably was. So he was putting her at more risk by that behavior than if he had called a professional.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why he didn't call a professional. He's a professional.
I think he did call one or two of them. I think he was using a service. Apparently, the person who was running it is not very discreet because she talked when, you know, she's not supposed to.
Oh, that's too bad.
But apparently he was.
We need to legalize prostitution so that people will be more discreet.
Yeah.
Turn it into a business. They should be like your therapist, your lawyer, your doctor, your ghostwriter. It should be very discreet.
Yeah, I think it should be, you know, well, I have interviewed many people who are dakinis, who are tantricas, who perform.
I love that, the sound of that, dakinis.
Yeah, I think it's a very good thing. And I think that there should be some place where, you know, not everybody has the grace, the social graces, and they don't have skills yet. They want to have, and I think in a way, in a sense, if that's all you want, if you want nothing else but the sexual experience, in a way, I think that's almost more ethical and more honest than, you know, trying to get it for free. Because, like you said,
I think you have really said an important thing here that I haven't read anywhere else or heard anywhere else. It is more ethical and more honest. It really is. You're right about that.
Because, you know, let's face it, if that's all you want and you don't want anything else and you want to have a lot of different experiences, you want to try this, you want to try that, isn't it better to do it in that respect? I mean, I had this conversation with Anton once. And I said, well, what does a guy like me do? Not me specifically, but I'll say a single guy who doesn't have this kind of, you know, most single men are not admitted to the world of swinging.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a couples only.
It is a couples only thing,
couples
right?
Only relationship thing.
Yeah, or couples or single women.
Single women, yes, but not single men. Single men are considered pariahs. There are very few incidences where single men are allowed into that world. I think, where does a single guy get to have those kind of experiences, get to kind of have the experiences that you have, but who doesn't have either your communication skills?
Yeah.
And that's probably
the easiest
way. I
think you're right about
that,
Stephen. And I think when Dave gets here, he can elaborate on that even more because he sees it from the perspective of guys trying to make pickups in sports bars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a very valid point.
I think, you know, you want to have those experiences. You want to try those things out, but the effort made to acquire that, and perhaps maybe the somewhat the lying and the manipulation, I think would be a lot more easier. And I think, you know, in a way, in a sense, it'd be a lot more affordable to do it this way.
I think so too. Yeah.
You know, save up if you have to. Save up, let's say, a month or so before you get to have that experience.
It's like saving up to go to the steakhouse.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to have a great meal. Go out and get yourself some great pussy, you know, and get yourself a good time, you know.
Get a good time. I believe in that, and I really think that so many people feel uncomfortable about supporting legalized prostitution.
Yes.
Because they feel like, you know, it's acknowledging the hidden drives that people have, and they don't want to do that, or they feel like it's giving honor to women who are outside of the social system or whatever.
Yes.
But it is the right way for us to go.
Yes.
I've been thinking a lot lately about what is sexual freedom.
Yes.
Because one of, you know Gloria Braim, right?
Sure.
Yeah, she's a fabulous woman, a PhD, a leader in the sexuality community, certainly a leader in writing about BDSM from a, you know, from a really instructional, informative point of view. And she's on Facebook, as
yes.
you and I are on Facebook. And recently she was deleted from Facebook and had to had to rebuild all of her friends because she posted some Victorian erotica, which was quite lovely and quite beautiful
yes.
and nothing awful about it at all. And for that reason, they just, the Big Brother Facebook just kind of deleted her and took all of her stuff down, which is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
It's so prudish. It's all about this prudish culture. So that has made me think about what is sexual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the story about gay marriage being voted down yet again in New York and Maine. Why are we so prudish about gay people having the same rights as straight people have? To me, it's a civil rights issue.
Yes.
It's purely a civil rights issue. Why are we being critical of them or saying they can't have the same rights as straight people have? It's like saying black people couldn't have the same rights that white people had. It is exactly the same thing.
Yes.
And I find it really offensive. So I looked at that, and then what is sexual freedom? I looked at the stories about the hooking up culture. There's been a lot of stories lately about it, and you and I have talked about it.
Yes.
I don't think it's really freedom if you're drunk and you're not getting an orgasm out of it. To me, this
no.
is not. This is
no.
not, like, step back and look at what you're doing, people. You're taking sexual risks for nothing, for nothing. So I think that it's also something that grows out of our sexually prohibitive culture, our sexually repressive culture, that people feel like they have to go out and get drunk and then they can hook up.
Right. I mean, what it's like, again, it's looking for something or someone to give you the permission. You know, we just had another great post up on Betty Dotson by Lawrence Lanoff. And
oh, I saw the Lawrence Lanoff post, and it was wonderful.
Yeah,
I saw that. I agree
right
with
sex.
It. Yeah. Well, Betty Dotson is certainly somebody who's gone to the front. Hey,
yeah.
Dave is here. I'm going to put Dave on, and you're going... Do we have a speakerphone?
Oh, yeah.
Does it work?
I don't know. You tell me.
Is it working?
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, all right, then.
Okay.
We're good to go.
We're good to go.
Good.
Steven, this is Dave.
How are you,
Hi,
Steve?
Hi, Dave.
Dave is one hot, sexy guy. He is my new protege. And you
yeah,
always... My protege, Steven.
I'm no booger boy.
You're the new protege. Yeah. Are you the new booger boy?
Hell no. Hey, you know what the difference is between broccoli and boogers?
What's that?
Little kids won't eat broccoli.
Okay, now get serious.
All right, done. How can I help, Steve?
So, we were...
Let's see about sports bars and sex, and what's the etiquette of the sports bar?
Well, I got to tell you, sports bars... You know what it brings new to the game is when you're thinking about 20 years ago when bars really weren't even in TVs,
yeah.
the constant stimulation definitely helps. You throw in those sexy beer commercials, the car ads, people are ready and really, it's a lot more charged and ramped up.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh,
all
totally.
All that sweating male energy.
Well, it's the commercials are all about
yeah.
selling sex.
Yeah.
So then you throw in a couple Red Bull and vodkas and some good food. And a great game, and everyone's already excited, it makes hooking up a lot easier.
Yes.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you see as trends in hooking up?
Well, smelling good is a darn good first step to getting laid. I got to tell you. People bathing definitely helps. Looking good. I'll tell you, in a sports bar, generally most people are a little more... You're wearing nicer clothes when you go out at night to watch a primetime game. You go in on an early Saturday, Sunday afternoon, people will show up in sweats. They're more about hanging out. There might be wives with them or kids.
I wouldn't sleep with anybody who wears sweats.
No.
Right, Stephen? You know my standards.
Absolutely. So look good, smell good, dress good.
Yeah.
So tell us some stories.
Well, let's see. Stories. Off the top of my head right now.
How about the guy that broke the sink in the ladies' room?
Well, let me tell you, he hooked up with a waitress from across the street. Next thing I know, they were in the bathroom for a while, but it was late at night. We didn't say anything. Her friends went to leave, started banging on the door. They rolled out of there all sheepish and embarrassed. The sink was barely hanging on by the pipes in the wall. So, I got to tell you, bathrooms see a lot of action.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. They have, though, I mean, throughout the history of bars, bathrooms have always been popular.
Very true, yes. How many technique tips for blowjobs in the bathroom have I written?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not taking home any girl I meet and play around with in a bathroom to meet my mom.
I thought you were around here.
Hey, what's going on? It's been a long time.
Somebody just infiltrated our private list.
That's one of our regulars here, one of the nicest guys.
There are so many great people at Maxie's.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. And in fact, this is, of course, where I did the interviews with Mara Altman.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Yeah. Over at the bar?
Over at the bar.
Very nice.
Yeah. And we did one of our interviews sitting outside on your stuff. Yeah. I'm going to make Maxie's famous for debauchery.
You should write a pilot about that, Susan.
Well, it's already in the works.
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
Actually, debauchery.
Debauch at Maxie's.
We should have a debauchery hamburger here.
We should have a debauchery burger. I think that's a great idea.
Burger debauchery.
Dave is absolutely adorable. Ask him his secrets with women.
Well, I don't have time to go into that.
You got a secret for us?
A quick secret? You know what? Looking a woman in the eyes and making them laugh. I got to tell you, if you can make someone laugh, you've done a better deed than most people have for the day.
That's
people appreciate
good.
A good laugh.
That's very good.
And also, eye contact.
It's not about your
people. Yes.
Well, let me tell you, I'm not going to go there. However, eye contact, I find... If you can't look someone in the eye, you're definitely not going home with anyone that night.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's really, you know, and the whole thing about the handshake, if you have a nice, good, firm handshake, it generally reminds the girl of their father. It goes a long way. That's why Old Spice is still on the market.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, man, because a lot of women remember that they're, yeah. No, it's those little things. I will take any advantage in the war.
So it is a war out there.
We're in the trenches every day.
Yeah. I think the Cougars are winning.
And thank God. I got nothing against Cougars.
You better not have anything against Cougars.
Are you kidding me?
All right.
I love Cougars. Listen, I do got to run next door before I'm
right, undo the.
I'm going to take you off the fire, all right, Steve?
Say goodbye to Steve.
Yes. Have a good night, Steve.
You too, Dave. Great to talk to you.
Great. I hope to do a little longer with you next time, Steve.
Absolutely.
All right, man. So long.
Okay. Bye.
You're off speaker.
Hey, he's so cute, isn't he?
He is. The Old Spice.
The Old Spice, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
He's
that's my deodorant, Old Spice. I remember
funny.
Those Old Spice commercials.
Yeah, I do, too. They were kind of sexy.
Yeah.
That's back in the days of Mad Men.
Yes.
Which is my favorite TV show.
Actually, you know who one of the original Old Spice men was?
No.
It was Matthew Perry's dad.
No kidding.
He was one of the original Old Spice men.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
You have so much information. I don't know if your listeners realize this, but you're like the... most informed person about sexuality, past, present, and probably future, than anyone in the world. You really know this stuff. We all go to Stephen. Everybody who writes about sex, everybody who deals in what I call sex world, goes to Stephen, and we count on him for our research and information.
Well, thank you.
And a lot of people don't credit him, but I do.
Absolutely, and I need that credit, and I need an income soon.
Absolutely. Well, you are the best.
I need sponsors. If anyone's out there listening who believes in this show and wants to wants
to great
sponsor
idea.
This show, I need sponsors, so please come on board.
Yeah, we need to
call
find
the station.
Well, let's think on that. I'm going to put my thinking cap on that about how you could do it. Maybe.
Thank you so much.
Maybe what you could do is, if you featured a lot of Quiver books on a regular basis, get Quiver to kick in.
Oh, great. Absolutely.
I'm going to think on that. I'm going to talk
about them. I gave them a nice plug tonight, didn't I?
You did give them a nice plug tonight. And they do fabulous books. Absolutely, they do. And the Sex Bible for Women, now out in paperback, is just gorgeous.
Weren't they going to produce a smaller pocketbook
size
version?
Yes, coming out soon. The Little Sex Bible.
That's cool.
Coming out in early 2010, followed by the Big Book of Little Orgasms.
Oh, good.
And then in early 2011, followed by the Daily Sex Bible, which I'm working on now.
So what? So Dave was saying some really interesting things. The Old Spice, looking good, smelling good, dressing well. these are all, you know, I think people tend to take these things for granted, but, you know, they're all important.
They are important. They're very important. Yeah, they really are. Some of the, an interesting thing, one of the waitresses, bartenders, the head bartender here, Liz, told me that she had signed up for Match.com because she said, I know how to fuck and I know how to fall in love, but I never learned how to date. So she's in her mid-30s. This is kind of a true story for a lot of people that age and much younger.
Yeah.
They are familiar with the hookup culture, but they don't know how to do anything else.
Right.
So part of the everything else, the ambiance of that is looking good and smelling good and going out on a date and flirting and taking a little time and being seduced. These people have no seduction skills.
Yes.
They don't know what seduction is because they just get drunk and do it.
Right. But don't you think that also does seduction have a sort of bad name to it?
Well, not with me.
No, not with you. But doesn't it still have like why do we have to do all this stuff for I always, you know, it just I think of a certain group of people of a certain age that they don't have that kind of experience. But they're not all familiar with having to do seduction.
Yeah, they don't have to do seduction. Their seduction is let's get drunk and fuck.
Yeah.
Or let's get drunk and you suck me, honey. There's no seduction. But we need to return to that, I think. It's all part of the whole culture that has kind of been dummied down and driven down class levels. When you watch Mad Men and you see how the people dressed.
Yes.
And the manners that they had. Okay, never mind that they were fascist, sexist, racist pigs.
Yeah.
But they had great manners and things were done in a certain way. Well, why can't we be liberated people and still have those manners and do things in a better way?
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be the next movement. I've often thought when I started my blog, I thought, I'm not going to try and compete with all those people who are showing more and more and more suggestive, degrading, explicit graphic images, right?
Yes.
Not going to do that. I'm going to, class it up a level. We're not doing that. I think that we can class it up a level and be more forthright and more intelligent and more witty and honest about sexuality.
Right.
Than people were in the 50s and the 60s and still embrace the style, the elegance of the manners.
Yes.
I think we can do that. I try to do that on the blog, and certainly Quiver does that in their books. They really do that in their books.
I think we'll talk about that a little bit about that. I think that's exactly, it. To have that kind of style, to have the liberation, to have the freedom. I mean, you know what's going on. But you do it in a certain way. You do it with class.
You do it with class. Yes.
Yeah.
You do it with class. And you also understand the value of seduction.
Yes.
Sex is a lot more interesting and a lot more exciting if there is the foreplay, if there is the mental and physical foreplay, if there's the teasing and the luxurious phase of seduction. It's not that interesting if you get drunk and slam somebody against the bathroom wall.
Right.
It's just.
I don't even think that's even really good sex. You know.
It's not good sex.
No.
It's not good sex. And at some point, these people are going to step back. They have realized it. I know so many women in their mid-30s who say, I'm turned off to sex. I've had enough of that kind of sex. I don't even want to have sex. I'm not interested in men. Well, yeah, they're turned off to that experience. And they think, of course, that the alternative is they have to find a man to love who will give them a baby.
Right.
But there are many, many variations of what people can do. And if we approach them in a more sophisticated, more interesting way, we would find the variations.
So would you, let's say, if we could combine that kind of sophistication with, I'm going to use the word tantra, you know, but I'm going to use it in terms of
using it loosely, of course.
Yes, in terms of tantra being, we're not using it in terms of sacred sexuality or spiritual sexuality. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is a slow, classy, form of sex that, for lack of a better word, we're going to use the term tantra. But I think you could also equally use terms like Kama Sutra,
mm-hmm.
which is what Kama Sutra was all about. The Kama Sutra was about style, how you go about things, presence,
mm-hmm.
And grace.
I think
also,
yes.
You know, any of those kinds of books from the 19th century, The Perfume Garden, they were, you know, they
oh,
were
I love The Perfume Garden.
Time period.
My lover and I have just discovered The Perfume Garden,
mm-hmm.
rediscovered it.
Mm-hmm.
I did a post last week or last weekend about finding this position, the ride me position. It's where the man actually appears to be riding you the way he would ride a horse.
Right.
He's sitting astride you with his, you know, on his knees. And he's like sitting up like he would be sitting on a mount. And you have, the woman has her legs folded up, tucked up under maybe her calves or maybe her thighs, depending on what's comfortable for her. It's a very sexy position.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the sexiest missionary position I've ever done. And
you know,
it's in the Perfume Garden from the 16th century Arabs. We forget they were on top of it then.
Yes.
When my ancestors, the Brits and the Scots, they were like not bathing regularly,
right.
Living in drafty castles and tearing into their basically raw meat with their fingers and mouth. You know?
Yes.
It was a really big contrast. All the sexual information came from the East. It came from India. It came from the Arabs. It came from China. It did not come from the West. Not at all. We were late to the sexual party in the West.
Yes. I think this is a very important thing, Susan, and I think this would be a really great book for you.
I think you're right, Stephen.
And I'd be happy to do the research for it. I'll be your research assistant on it.
You'll be my research assistant on everything.
Yes.
You're my guy.
But I think this is, you know, because we're looking at so many different things right now. And there's this whole, like you said, hookup culture, people, but also people in their 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, I might as well get used to it. You know, I'm 50.
Oh, God, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's this, you know, you look for different things. You look for new things. You look for this whole thing with polarity, which I think is, like, so stupid. But what about, you know, having, okay, I know, well, Anton talks about surrendering to the role. You're playing a role. And
mm-hmm.
there are certain things which he talks about. But, like, that kind of role of an elegant gentleman, an elegant courtier.
Yes.
Let's say
yes.
an elegant Don Draper who is not, you know, so fucked up anyway.
But
he is
but
so beautiful, though.
He is. And I think I'm very attracted to the alpha male. Yeah, but I'm if you could take him to his absolute perfection without his, the fallbacks that he has.
Yeah.
Well, actually, did you ever see the famous video he did on Saturday Night Live, Don Draper's wife picking up women?
Yes, that was funny.
There was, yeah. So if you took something like that and, did a more serious, realistic, sort of like, what is the art of someone like Cary Grant? What is the art of someone like the great seducers?
Is a great idea for a book. What, the art of the great seducers?
Yeah, these men for whom.
And you could actually do men and women.
Yes.
The women who were that very seductive. That's a great idea. I like that.
Okay, I coined that term. That's
you
my
did.
Term.
I like it.
www.theartoftheGreatSeduction.com. Maybe I should brand that.
I think you should brand it because we could start putting together a proposal for you. That is a good idea.
Yeah. The study
like
of the great seducers, their techniques, and how can they be adapted to today.
To today's time.
People are looking for that. Like you said,
people are. I think that we're headed in a different direction now. We've gone so far in exposure. So far in like 24-hour contact with everybody and social networks and everybody being out there and people tweeting or twittering or however they call it and text sexting and all these things. We've gone so far in that direction, there's almost nowhere to go.
Right.
So what do you do at this point? The forward-thinking people, the avant-garde, the edge people, step back and they're going to say, wait a minute, let's add some class, some dignity, some culture. Let's layer on something that is really good and manage to keep the knowledge that we've gained and the openness and the freedom to explore, but make it, add these better layers to it. It's kind of like people learning to dress up again.
Yes.
Which I am all in favor of. I'm so sick of seeing people. You get on an airplane and everybody's in their, supposedly they call them track suits, and these are people who haven't seen a track in 30 years. I really find that objectionable. when you get off a plane in places like St. Louis, it's like everybody there is, well, not everybody, but a really good portion of the people are overweight and they're wearing loose clothing. This is not good.
No.
It's not good.
No.
I don't mean to pick on St. Louis, but that's my home airport, so it's what I'm familiar with. It's a shame. And we need to look at our sex life in the same way. Sex life has become almost the equivalent of that overweight traveler in the tracksuit.
Yeah.
Because hooking up is on that level. It's the drunk picking up the other drunk and doing it, and nobody really getting that much out of it.
Right.
Except a story.
Right.
I find when I talk to people, because I know a lot of people in the restaurant bar industry, I have friends who are bartenders, and a lot of friends who own or manage these places, and I find that they're all out for the story. They want to hear the story. It's all about the story. It's got nothing to do with a good experience. It's the story.
No.
That I find very discouraging. We should be about the good experience. We should not be about the story. That was one of my my problems with the Zola. The Zola, now banned to Phoenix, where he blogs about the contents of refrigerators. But that was one of my complaints with him. Like, everything's a story. You have a sexual experience with someone, and it's just a good story to tell your buddies at the bar.
Yeah.
It's not about the enrichment of the experience. And again, I'm not pushing, am I pushing monogamy or commitment or whatever? I think it should be a better experience. I believe in a good experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It should be cultivated. So we need this kind of cultivation of eros, this kind of erotic
cultivation of eros. That is a beautiful line. Did you just come up with that?
I just came up with that.
I love that.
See, you're inspiring me, Susan. I'm in an inspired moment.
Well, you are
moment.
Inspired tonight, Stephen. That is a fabulous line. The cultivation of Eros. I love that.
The cultivation of Eros and the seduction. The seduction culture.
Yeah.
Well, not the seduction culture in terms of those seducing guys, but the cultivation of the great seducers. What would Casanova be doing today? What would Anais Nin be doing today? That's the whole thing, I think.
The cultivation of Eros. And
yeah.
What was the one before that?
And the culture of seduction.
The culture of seduction. And the one before that?
What would it be like? What would Casanova be doing today? What would Ananis Nin be doing today? How would they approach?
What would they be doing today?
Yeah, how would they function in today's world?
But what
world?
Did we say before that? I've already lost it. Was the art of the...
I think the art of seduction.
It was the thing before seduction. We're going to have to listen to this played back.
Yeah, we'll have to play it back.
Yes.
Seth, I'm going to need this one sent to me in a file pretty soon.
Quickly, we're going to need this one quickly. Because I think we have books here.
Yeah. We have books to write. Susan has
books to write.
So we're going to need this one linked up. But
you and I are on to something here.
We are saying
that the culture is played out with the sexual extremism.
Yeah.
It's played out.
You can have those extremism, but you have to do, I think it's like with anything else, you have to do it with intention, which also means confronting certain aspects of yourself. It should be done with a sense of style, a sense of
if
grace.
If done with a sense of style and grace.
Yeah, not being done with getting drunk and going to the bathroom and fucking someone in a stall somewhere and pulling
mm-hmm.
the sink down,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then blogging about it later on.
Yes, and then blogging about it later on. You're right. Because that is what this culture is missing. It is missing style and grace. You were so right about that, the sexual style and grace. I think we've come to some great conclusions here tonight.
I think, you know, like you said.
And Dave is adorable, isn't he? I knew you would like him.
Oh, yes, I think he's fantastic. I do want to have him back on.
You've got to have him back on, definitely.
Yes.
You know, he's usually off on Wednesdays, so let's plan a night that we could tape with Dave on a Wednesday night.
But like you said before, you have these women in their 30s who have gone through these experiences, and now they're turned off to sex.
Yes. Yes.
Because
the women in their 30s turned off to sex. And there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's
so I think, you know, and I think that's one of the good things we could also do at Sexy Spirits. What we're trying to do there is, you know, show a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, learning from the lessons from the great seducers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lessons from the masters of love or the masters of Eros, whatever you want to call it. People who've learned to cultivate that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty hard to do that in this society because
we
do have the repression. Or you have the extreme, which is, you know, just let's go get drunk and bang in a bar somewhere.
You are so right. We seem to go back and forth between the repression
mm-hmm.
and the extremism, the acting out.
And the only place I see it, you know, where it's a little more consistent, where it's, of course, it has to be deliberate, maybe a little bit more in the BDSM world because they have to have intention.
Mm-hmm,
because they're
mm-hmm.
because they're doing scenes, because they're playing with certain situations.
They
you
do.
You have
you're
to
right.
be aware, and you have to plan these things out.
I have concluded a long time ago that we straight people who are basically vanilla with some kinky interests can learn so much from gay culture, from BDSM culture. We can learn so much from people who are living on the edge of pushing the envelope for various reasons. I mean,
yeah.
Gay people, it's because of the role that they've been put in socially.
Yeah.
There are various reasons why some people are really out there at the frontier for us. We can learn a lot from them, and we also should be supporting them more than we are.
Absolutely.
We should be. It is just a crime that we have not legalized gay marriage in this country. It's a crime. It's ridiculous that gay people don't have complete rights. And
absolutely.
We don't get involved, and we should be, all of us should be getting involved.
Absolutely. And you know what, I think Bill Maher had said, look, if you really hate gay people, if you really want to make their lives hell, let them get married, you know?
Stephen. You're right about that.
You know,
you're definitely
really,
right. How much time do we have left? Do we need to make some points here before we go?
I think we have about 3 minutes left.
3 minutes left. So what are our big lessons for our listeners today?
I think our lesson is, first of all, tolerance and
tolerance.
You know, support gay marriage. And also, you know, this is supporting, I think it's also Anti-Violence Against Sex Workers Week.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is.
Let's support
tolerance
our
should
friendly
be the big
neighborhood
word.
Sex worker. Let's make prostitution
yes.
legal.
I'm for that. I am for that. We need to stop criminalizing sexual behavior.
Yes.
We really do. We need to stop that. We need to band together. One of the things I said to Gloria after she was deleted from Facebook, I said, I'm going to write about this. It's just going to take me a little while to put it all together. But we need to stand together, and we don't. People
yes.
in the pro-sex community tend to break off into their groups.
Yes.
We need to unite. We need to stand together. Because
yes.
if one of us is not free, none of us are free.
Absolutely.
That was what they said in the civil rights movement. And it is true. It is true about sexuality. If somebody is prohibited from having the freedom of sexual expression by our society, then we are all prohibited.
Yes.
That is an important lesson for us to learn. And that is one thing I want to make more a part of my writing on the blog in 2010. Want to make more of a political statement, if for lack of a better word. Want
yes.
to stand up more. I think we need to do that. We all need to do that.
Absolutely. Let's take a stand and support our local sex workers, their rights.
Yes. Gay marriage.
Gay marriage. And I think just, you know, let's cultivate eros. Let's cultivate that feeling,
I love that, cultivate eros.
The feeling of the great seducers. You know, how can we make this more charming? How can we approach sex as an art form?
Oh, I love that, Stephen. How can
yes.
we approach sex as an art form?
Right.
That is beautiful.
How can we bring the Kama Sutra to life and the perfume garden to life and get into that mindset of those people, and let's bring that into the 21st century. Let's bring
get
that culture into the 21st century.
I love that.
You know,
I think
I think that would be a really great thing to do. I believe we are coming up on 10 minutes to the hour. And that's what Don told me in the beginning. So I want to thank you once again, Susan Crane Bacos, author extraordinaire. her wonderful books can be published, which are published by Quiver. Okay, Quiver, see, I just gave you another big plug, okay?
You gave him a great plug.
And I want to thank you again, Susan. And, you know, let's continue with this discussion.
And absolutely.
Let's cultivate Eros in 2010.
Absolutely.
And thank you all for listening to this broadcast tonight. And hopefully we will be back next week with another original broadcast for you at that time.
And I'm always here if you need me.
And I always will have Susan on this show. This is Stephen Otero speaking. Thank you, and good evening.